Hello, and welcome to another Disruptive Author podcast. We are already at issue 7, which is really exciting. And our feature author today is Trish Springsteen. Now, I met Trish at a networking event several years ago, and at the time I had no idea where our relationship would take us. We were working on a committee for a commerce. And after working together for a little while, Trish shared with me a little story about her son, Craig. Actually, it's not a little story, it's quite a big story, which Trish will go further into, I'm sure, in our interview. I was really moved by her story, and at the time I invited Trish to contribute a chapter to a book that I was putting together, you know, at that particular time. She wrote the most beautiful chapter, and since that time, Trish and I have worked together on so many different projects, not just books, other projects as well. So it's really exciting for me to be able to have her and actually feature her in the Disruptive Author magazine. So how are you today, Trish? Are you ready for an exciting interview?
Absolutely. I'm awesome and I'm always ready for an exciting interview.
All right. Well, let's just jump right in. For the listeners, tell us about your latest book. What's it about and how did it come about?
Well, my latest book, in case you really were blind and didn't see, is called Forever Changed by Suicide. And I am so freakingly awesomely proud about this book. It's a compilation. There's 23 chapters. And I am very proud of the contributors because what they've done, they've stood up and they've had the courage and the commitment to open their hearts and share their stories about their journey and how they've been changed by suicide. Mm-hmm. And there's people there who have lost people. There's ones who've gone through the journey and pulled back. There's one that have gone through that journey and survived. And there's people who help people in there and who are supporters. How did it come about? Well, as some of you may or may not be aware, and as Deb mentioned, we lost our son Craig to suicide in 2007. And not something I would wish for anybody. But at that time, after I had processed everything, and it was a few months, there were two things that stood out for me. One was that Craig had been here for such a short time on this earth, just a small footprint. And my concern, and even at the funeral, I said to his friends, please do not forget him. My concern was, please remember him. Mm-hmm. 23 years old and very little legacy. I didn't want people to forget who he was and that. So for me, there's been a very big part is remembering. And I think this also carries over for many who have lost. They want to remember and to remember the good times. The second thing that stood out for me was that people had such a difficult time speaking to me about it, saying anything. They didn't know what to say and how to say it. So this book is it's there for people to start conversations because even today there is a stigma about talking about suicide. People do still have a tendency to hide it away or not know what to say and how to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So this book was an opportunity for people to contribute. And if even one chapter, even if just the two paragraphs in a chapter, resonate with someone and start conversation and allow people to remember and to speak, then this will have achieved what this book was about.
Beautiful. Thank you, Trish. You're actually an author, co-author, or contributing author to several books. Can you tell the listeners more about that?
Well, this sort of fell out of thin air. If you'd asked me at any stage, like 20 years ago, would I be an author? It would be, oh, no, I can't write. I can't share my story. Who would want to hear what I have to say? I have nothing to say. So I sort of fell into this. When we started our business, in about 2006, my then business partner and I have been in business a couple of years and we were sort of sent to us at the time, oh, you need to have a book. Got to have a book. It goes to credibility. Now, being very lazy people, if we want to put it that way, we didn't really want to write a whole book.
Isn't that efficient, not lazy? Efficient.
But, hey, let's get down to task. Brass tacks. Lazy and efficient.
Yeah.
I'm poor, like to do productive. And this is where my two favourite words eventuated from, because repurpose and leverage. So we just looked at what we had, and we'd been writing a blog for 2-3 years then. So what we did was we went to our blog and took the best blogs that we liked, turned it into a book. Mm-hmm. And published it.
What a great idea.
A great idea. Awesome content. Terrible book cover. Terrible title. Because this is where I learned an awful lot on how not to do a published book.
This is book number one.
This was book number one. And that's why this was quite probably a long time between that book and the next one. Because we did everything. We thought we were doing it right. We trusted a publisher. Publisher didn't live up to what they were saying. We thought they would help us with the title, help us with the cover. And he had a whole graphic team, and that was what his pitch was all about. So we just gave him some ideas, and he just went with everything we gave him. And, of course, never having written a book before, never having done titles or covers before, it's probably not the best. Mm. And we had to order a humongous amount. So I can tell you I've still got one box left. From 2006.
Yeah.
However, the content's good, and it did achieve its purpose. It went to our credibility, and we were authors. Let's just fast forward. Business changed. My business partner left amicably. I got approached to write another book. And, of course, I had this, you know, no, not going to. And they said, just contribute a chapter. Not happening. It's in America. Changed my mind because I realized that I was teaching people how to step up and I had to walk my talk. So I did. People actually read it, and bring it all tight together, it changed my mindset, and I realized that I could write a speech, and I write as I speak. Mm. So consequently, since then to now, Forever Changed by Suicide, my 18th book that I co-authored, authored, or been a contributing author.
Congratulations. And that's quite an achievement. Yeah, you're not finished yet either.
Oh, no. I have more stories. Someone who didn't think she had any stories, I have more stories. But most importantly, it's not about me. It really isn't. Whenever I write a book, it is not about me. Mm. It's about the people that I could reach. It gives me a wider opportunity to share thoughts and expertise. And if one person picks up my book, one person writes to me and says, on page 305, you said three or four sentences, and it just changed me, then you know what? That's why I write.
I can understand that. So tell me, was becoming an author the fulfillment of a dream for you, or was it just a means to an end, or part of that bigger picture around credibility?
It was a combination. Funnily enough, writing the book actually made me realise that it was a dream to be an author. I never, if you had asked me before, it was not anywhere on my radar. And I didn't think I could be an author. I loved reading. I've been reading since I was 11, and I have a library of thousands and thousands of books. Mm. So, you know, I thought, how could I produce books like that? I mean, they're all fiction books and some words. So, but when I held that first book in my hand, and the feeling, people, when you hold your book in your hand, whether it's your first one, your second one, your third one, each one is a different feeling.
They're all precious, aren't they?
That sort of made me realise, you know what, I had that secret dream, and it was a dream that was so well hidden.
Yeah.
Until I produced it, I didn't realise that I did want to be an author. So it's a combination of having realised a dream that I didn't know I had, plus part of a wider picture, as I just mentioned, for people to be able to find me, for me to be able to share what I want.
Beautiful. So how does writing lead into your work? So, like, what are you actually doing now? Would you say you're doing your life's work? And what do you ultimately want to achieve through your work?
Oh, that is such a good question. Am I doing my life's work? Do you know what? I'm not going to answer that because I can't. I'm living my life. Mm. I'm enjoying my life. I love to write now, and I love to share, and whether it's my own book or co-authored book or contributing a chapter to a book, it's an extra dimension for me to be able to share who I am, because it's took me a long time, but I am very comfortable with who I am now, and I believe in myself, and this is an extra dimension. Am I living my life? Well, I don't know, and I'm going to leave that to someone to come after I've gone, maybe 40 years, to say something like that, or for people who am I to say whether I'm living? That is up to other people to say, but I can say I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
I will.
You love what you do. I think that's a sign. And it seems, you know, the books are definitely, they're an outer expression of an inner existence for you. So nice to watch you. So do you plan to actually write more books?
Absolutely. I have about three books at the moment that are partially written. One is, I'm hoping to come out in October, and that is actually my son's story. It's all about him, our family, and our journey afterwards. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping to have that launched in October. Mm-hmm. And I have another two books, which are more information books. One is an introvert story. It's a story of an introvert speaker. My journey is speaking and as an introvert. Mm-hmm. And the other one is just a really nice, simple A to Z of public speaking. Okay. It's there. I just got to tighten it all up. But I have several books, and more may come. I'm not going to stop writing, and I'm looking forward to being able to contribute chapters to other people's books too, if it catches my attention and if I feel that I can add value, I will write and share.
That's actually a really good guidelines. If it catches my attention and I feel I can add value, I will contribute. I think they're great guidelines, Trish. So tell me, how can your fans get more of you? How can they connect with you and build a relationship with you?
Look, people, say hello. I'm an introvert, and I know how hard it is for some people to say hello, so I promise you I will say hello back. I will say hello back, and we can start a conversation.
Nice.
Look, I'm all over Facebook. I've got social media. You can find me. It's not hard. I am very subtle about my liking of purple, so I don't really push it in your face. So you may have to dig hard to find the Purple Lady, but you'll find me. I'm on social media. My website is up there. You can go to my website and see what I do. I'm at network meetings. Just say hello, wave.
You are a particularly good networker, which I think, not just networker, like in person, but networking online as well. And I think that goes really well to your marketing club. You actually have a marketing club that people can join, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I have a marketing club because what I discovered was through my life and through my business. Yeah. When I first started, I didn't have money to outsource to marketing people. I just didn't have that. But I do know that you can't really, you it's up to you. You are the best person to speak about your book or your business, whatever it is that you do. Mm. So you need to step up and speak. That's why I help people speak. But you also need to be able to reach out and make it easy for people. You want to shine that light. So my marketing club is all about helping you to find the gold nuggets in your business, repurpose leverage, have that courage to promote yourself. Beautiful. So to get yourself out there, because you need to do that. For startups and for small businesses.
Startups in particular, I think, like what you said, they don't have that budget to begin with. So they need to learn how to be really efficient with their time and get as much mileage as they can from what they do.
Yep.
So I think, and it's great, you've created like a really lovely environment in which people can learn and share with each other and grow together. So I'm actually really excited about that for you and about promoting that, especially for, you know, those other authors that that are either disruptive authors or, you know, other authors around the place. Marketing is such a massive part. It's the biggest part of writing a book. If you don't market it, people won't read it.
It'll sit in your boxes. And do you know what? It's okay to talk about yourself. Yes. It's okay to sell yourself and your book. It's okay to promote yourself. And that's probably one of the biggest blocks many people have. They don't see themselves as marketers. They don't see themselves as selling. And every time you get up in the morning, people, you are selling yourself. You are marketing yourself. So let's find easy ways to do it.
Mm. Trish, I've thoroughly enjoyed our interview and as always, love talking to you, and I am going to wrap up now, but for those people that are listening, all the details for connecting with Trish will be below this video, and you can actually read Trish's article and responses to the questions that I've asked her. So if you are one of those people that prefer to read rather than watch or listen, you can access all this information in that way. So check out issue 7 of The Disruptive Author with the Purple Lady on the front, Trish Springsteen. Trish, thanks again. And that's it for today.
Hi.